I couldn't help but think about it. I mean, I was thinking, okay, beginning of the week, nothing much was going on, but by the end of the week, I was out of a job for 3 weeks. Don't have school, I can't drop. So anyway, but I'm saying things begin to change rapidly. But fear began to set in with a lot of people. And in fact, I don't know about you, I don't know where you are with your family, but part of my family is so fearful they're not coming out, they're not doing anything. They're staying home. But that's not what we're going to talk about. It's been a week of great change. And I'm going to say the enemy has, we've talked about fear, we're going to talk about it some more. The enemy has tried to bring fear to the hearts of people. In fact, in many, that is exactly what he has done. In light of this past week, we are going to spend some time in prayer today. We've already talked about that. I know I'm going back over, but hey, I didn't know all this other was going on, so I'm kind of bearing with it. And I tried to cut this down because I want to spend time in prayer. I really do. I'm going to spend time in prayer, praying for our nation, praying for the world, and coming against this coronavirus. Much has happened in our state and in our nation. Schools are closed for 3 weeks. We have turned, when you turn the TV on, you listen to a lot of fear. But fear should not be in the heart of a believer. So we're going to look at this thing from the standpoint of the Word of God and begin to pray according to the Word of God. Now, I know we have been talking about love, and I want to start with our scripture that we've been standing on. And it's found in Ephesians 3:17 in the Passion Translation. And this is what it says. It says, then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of His love will become the very source and root of your life. And I thought about the events that have gone on in the past week. What has happened? To make the love of God your root, your source, has become much more important. We've got to start from there. We are inside-out Christians, not outside-in. Inside-out means we operate from our spirit within. We don't let what's going on the outside affect us. Oh, it may change our routine. It may change some of our daily activity for a little bit. But we're still operating from the inside out. We must do that. Amen?
Yes, amen.
So, then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you. And the resting place of His love will become the very source and root of your life. We are to live inside out. Now, 1 John 4:18 says this. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. I don't like torment, do you? None of us do. And I especially don't like torment when it's coming from our enemy of our soul. I don't need that. Nobody does. But he who fears has become made perfect in... But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. The Message Bible says it this way, in 17 and 18. God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God, and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house.
Amen.
Are you letting love have the run of your house? Remember, we live in a body. It's our house. It's our tent. I like what it says. I just like the way it says, this way, love has the run of the house, becomes at home and mature in us, so that we're free of worry on judgment day. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ. There is no room in love for fear. There is no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. Since fear is crippling, a fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love. So, that tells it right there. If we've got any fear in us, that means we're not fully formed in love yet, doesn't it? That's exactly what it says. And we're looking at some of the core scriptures. Now, this is one of my favorite scriptures. It has been, and we've had it as a core scripture here at Faith Living Word Church for I don't know how long, it's been a long time, almost since I can remember. Proverbs 4:20-23. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So it's very important then that we keep our heart, isn't it? Out of our heart to come the issues of life. In fact, out of the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you've got fear in your heart, you're not going to be able to hide it. You know why? Because it's going to come out your mouth. But if you've got fear in your heart, don't condemn yourself either. Just know, praise God, you need to dig into that word a little bit more.
Yes.
Amen? He said, my son, give attention. Give attention. It doesn't mean casual attention. You know, there's a lot of people that come to church and many churches, and they don't pick up the Bible the rest of the week. They're just going, oh, well, or they'll say this. They'll get up and say, Pastor preaches, and they'll say, Pastor, I already knew that. Tell me something new. Well, I got news for you. I don't have anything new. If it's not in the Word of God, I don't have it. Because if it's not here, you don't want to hear it anyway. Because if it's not in the Word of God, it won't feed your spirit anyway. But tell me something new. And you know what their problem is? Does anybody know how faith comes? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But what they're saying is, Pastor, oh, I've heard that. Tell me something new. In other words, they've stopped hearing. If they've heard, it's all past tense. It's not fresh. No, we don't stop hearing the Word. We have to keep on hearing. Hearing and hearing. Amen?
Amen.
And then it says, give attention to, incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart before thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. The ear gate, the eye gate, what you see and what you hear is extremely important. So that's why I recommend this most of the time anyway. And especially now, you're going to do what you want to do, but I recommend turning the 6 o'clock news off. Let me ask you a question. Will the 6 o'clock news feed your family? What will it feed you right now?
Fear.
And here's the thing. And I'm going to predict this. Listen, this thing is going to be over before you know it.
Yes. Amen. And Jesus.
There have been other plagues. There have been the common flu. We lose many people every year from the common flu, more than we're going to lose in this coronavirus. You say, how do I know that? I'm checking in here on my spirit, and I'm listening to what some others are saying. And here's the other thing I know. See, the devil, he's tried to put fear there, but the one thing he hasn't counted on, the body of Christ. And the body of Christ for some time now has been on their knees praying. We've been praying for this nation. We've been praying for the world. We've been praying for a lot of things. And the Father in heaven says, if my people will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. That's already happening. And so he comes along and he brings this virus. And he tries to put fear there. We're already on our knees. We're already covering everything with prayer.
Yes.
Now we're just going to step it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Now, and I've got to tell you something else. What are we going to do? Everyone is concerned about the coronavirus. Well, I've heard, and it could very well be, I don't know, they're making another virus coming right behind. What are we going to do? We're going to stay in fear? No. We're getting on our knees now. Praise God. So when this comes, we've already taken it. We've gotten rid of it. When the next one comes, praise God, we already know what to do. And we're not going to be in fear. Amen? Romans 8:1-2 is another scripture I like to stand on. It says here, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. If you're in Christ Jesus, praise God, you're free from the law of sin and death. Amen?
Amen.
Now I want to remind you of something.
Thank you.
As we talk about that law, and that is John G. Lake. He lived at the time when the bubonic plague, I believe it was rampant in the world. He's a minister of the gospel, and he was over there taking care of the sick. He was burying the dead, he was taking care of the sick, and they couldn't understand, well, how are you not getting it? And he said this when they came in, the medical doctors and so forth came, how are you not getting sick? You've been around it, and you like it. He said, listen, I'm standing on the Word of God. Now, I want to do an experiment with him, because he already knew what was going to happen. He said, take the saliva out of these that have died. Put it under the microscope. What do you see? The active germs in there, that's alive, and it's active in all kinds of things. Now, he said, take that same saliva that's active. Put it on my hand. Now, scrape that off and put it on the slide, put it on the microscope. Microscope, what happens? He said, what happened is all those germs died.
Yes. That was so
good. He was standing on the Word. So what's that tell us? We don't have to be in fear. We can stand on the Word. Will the Word let us down?
No.
Now listen, we've got final authority here, the Word of God. The medical field are doing the best they can. Praise God, we're going to pray for them. We're not against them. We're not against doctors. But I know one thing, praise God, we've got better knowledge. And we got a better doctor. His name is Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So now the case is closed. There remains no accusing voice or condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus, the Anointed One. For the law of the Spirit of life flowing through the anointing of Jesus has liberated us from the law of sin and death. Romans 8, 1 and 2 in the Passion Translation. Amen. Now, of course, the practical steps, and I'm not going to go back over all those things. I'm going to wrap this up because we want to get to where we can pray. And I thought Darcy did an excellent job. We know the practical steps. We hear it every day. You hear it at work. Wash your hands. Probably the most important thing. Wash your hands. And I know. Now, we didn't practice it this morning. We're still shaking hands here a little bit, but you said get used to the other one. You know, that's not a bad idea. I'll tell you why. Because you're going to have two out in the world anyway. When you're out there in the workplace, nobody's going to want to shake your hand. So get used to the elbow bump or just play it. Love you. Yeah. Listen, it's all going to be over and soon we're going to be back in the world anyway. Amen. But in the meantime, there's no point putting fear in somebody else because you can shake your hand and they're afraid you're shaking your hand.
No.
Even though it doesn't bother me. Because I tell you what I do, I wash my hands off. Mm-hmm. And we use hand sanitizer. So it's not going to bother me. But listen, if it causes someone else to stumble, then I'll quit doing it. Just practical stuff to do. Amen? This is, you know, covering your mouth and nose when you cough, you know. Avoid contact with people who are sick. And if you're sick, by all means, stay home. Isn't that just common sense?
Yeah.
So that's practical advice. And every place you turn to, they're giving that advice. But now, we come to this. Praying Psalm 91 over this nation and your family. Now, on the back of that paper, I think she put Psalms 91. Now, I'm going to read it, but I'm going to read it from a different translation. I was going to read it from both, but you follow along. I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. Because it says some different things, and I want you to get this. I like that. I don't know why. I'm beginning to really like the Passion Translation. You know, it's just speaking our language where we are today. But this is what it says in the Passion. It says, when you sit enthroned under the shadow of Shaddai, You are hidden in the strength of God Most High. I don't walk around anymore in my own strength. I got His strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Praise God.
Yeah. Yes.
He's the hope that holds me and the stronghold to shelter me. And the stronghold to shelter me. The only God for me and my great confidence. He will rescue you from every hidden trap of the enemy.
Thank God. He does. Hallelujah.
And what is this coronavirus but a hidden trap? Amen?
That's right.
And He will protect you from false accusations and any deadly curse. Covered it right there. He'll protect you from any deadly curse.
Yay! Hallelujah.
As far as I am concerned, this is a curse. It's part of the curse.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. His massive arms are wrapped around you, protecting you. Amen. When you get in fear, just see Him. See yourself wrapped in His arms. Don't entertain fear. Entertain love. Amen. The love of God wrapping His arms around you. See yourself that way. You can run under His coverings of majesty and hide. His arms of faithfulness are a shield keeping you from harm. You will never worry about an attack of demonic forces at night, nor have to fear a spirit of darkness coming against you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm telling you, this is good, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Don't fear anything. Whether by night or by day, demonic danger will not trouble you, nor will the powers of evil launch against you.
Amen.
Even in a time of disaster, with thousands and thousands being killed, you will remain unscathed and unharmed. A thousand at your right hand, 10,000, they're dying. But it's not going to come out of you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You will be a spectator as the wicked perish in judgment, for they will be paid back for what they have done. And listen, we already talked about this last week. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. We don't have to take it on ourselves. But what that's saying, we get to watch what God does. He will avenge. He's capable. Amen?
Amen.
But it won't come nigh us. When we live our lives within the shadow of God Most High, our secret hiding place, we will always be shielded from harm.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Now you can, I'm going to ask you to do it. Take whatever translation you want to use and read Psalm 91 and pray it every day.
Mm-hmm.
Some will speak more to others and so forth. I'm going to find my place again. How then could evil prevail against us or disease infect us? God sent angels with special orders to protect you wherever you go, defending you from all harm. If you walk into a trap, they'll be there for you and keep you from stumbling. Don't you love that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When you've got the love of God down on the inside, no fear. Even if you walk into a trap and the devil thinks he's got you. You know what that reminds me of? The devil thought he had Jesus when he put him in the grave. And for 3 days he was there and he thought he'd won, but he couldn't hold him. The devil may think he's got you trapped, but don't think for a minute you are trapped. Just walk out of it, praise God. Do what Jesus did. Amen. Glory to God. You'll even walk unharmed among the fierce powers of darkness, trampling every one of them beneath your feet. For here is what the Lord has spoken to me. Because you have delighted in me as my great lover, I will greatly protect you. I will set you in a high place, safe and secure before my face. I will answer your cry for help every time you pray, and you will find and feel my presence even in your time of pressure and trouble. I will be your glorious hero and give you a feast. You will be satisfied with a full life and with all that I do for you, for you will enjoy the fullness of my salvation.
Yes.
And the salvation he's talking about, whatever you have, eat up, whatever you want, it's covered in the word salvation.
Yes.
Amen. We get to enjoy it. That place of protection is his word. Stay in the word of God. Stay active in the word. God is love, and you can't separate God from his word. So love and the word go together. They're almost one the same. Keep yourself in the love of God by keeping yourself in the Word and fellowshipping with Him. Keep yourself in the love of God by keeping yourself in the Word and fellowshipping with Him. Mm-hmm. You know, Brother Hagin had a saying for things like times like this. He said, when I was fighting a battle, he said there's one thing, he knew the Word, but he said, I double up. Just double up on the word. Amen. So, double up. Amen. Double up. This is a time to double up. Keep that love stirred. Keep that love flowing. Keep the word of God alive on the inside of you. And keep fellowship with him. Now, of course, we know the Bible says put you on the whole armor of God. Now, I'm going to read that real quick. And then go read another scripture, and then we're going to conclude, and we're going to get into prayer. But this is what, you know this scripture, the whole armor of God. It's found in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. I'm going to read it. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. What is truth? It's the word of God. It's a picture of a Roman soldier. He had a belt that he put around his waist there, and it held the rest of his weapons. He needed that proof around his loins. He had to start there. Hallelujah. Now let's read on. That was true. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Amen. I am, you are, we are, if we're in Jesus Christ, we are the righteousness of God. What's that mean? I get to run to him instead of run from him. Hallelujah. Sin no longer can attack me. I am righteous. I have a right to go to my Father, and if I miss it, I have a right to straighten it out. I don't have to fear him.
Amen.
There's that word fear again. I don't have to walk in fear. I'm in righteousness. I am righteous. I'm telling you, that fear, praise God, we're learning a lot about fear, and the way to come against it is stay in the word of God. Stay in love. Praise God. For perfect love, cast that off fear. Amen. Let me find my place again here. Okay. Breastplate of righteousness. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Listen, when you're prepared, praise God, and the love of God is down on the inside of you, and everything is working right, praise God, I mean, the love of God, the word of God's there, then you're prepared to go wherever God says go, having your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. You can go where he says go. Now listen, sometimes in troubled times, He might send you in the midst of the trouble. Word of caution. Don't go because you think you want to go. But don't be afraid if God says go. I've heard many Christians, and I'll give you this example. I've used it before, and it's the most. We had a sniper on Long 270 a few years back. Sitting there picking people off, trying to. He did hit one. And they finally caught him. But here's the point. I heard many Christians say, oh, I'd be afraid to go by 270. I said, why? Because here's what I want you to get. In all of what we're going through, you never want to let fear control your life. You let the love of God, you let the word of God control your life. And I heard him say, well, I'd be afraid. I said, I'm not. I can go around 270. Now, if I get up one day and God says, wait a minute, son, I don't want you to go that way today. Different story. You listen to the Spirit of God. And if he tells you not to go, then don't go. But on the other hand, in this coronavirus, I'm not going to go around where it's people have been exposed unless God says so. Now, some of you work in healthcare, and you've got to, but they're taking precautions. We understand that. And you've got the love of God, you've got the word of God, you've got everything anyway. You've got your protection on, you've got your armor on. And you take Psalms 91, take your gospel every morning. And Brother Hagin says, double up.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And of course, take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation that covers your head. Because where does Satan bring fear? In your mind. So you protect your mind with the word of God.
Yes. Yes.
You protect your mind. And then, lastly, it says there, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, I like that scripture. And boy, when I got to Rhema and I began to learn about the word Rhema, I started looking up for the word was used, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Right here, it is the word Rhema, meaning the spoken word. Boom, 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 boom. The problem with that is, listen, many people get excited. And they hear the word, oh, now I can take the sword and I'll just speak it out and it'll happen. You know what? And they pull that sword out. I'm speaking the word. See, I'm doing not, you know, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And they get discouraged. And they wonder what? I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. I'm doing what they said. And after all, it said, you know, and get excited. And I being a Rhema in the early years, we Rhema students, boy, in the early couple of years, boy, everybody, they got a hold of part of that message they heard Brother Hagin said, you can have what you said. And you know what we all did? We ran around and sang. And it wasn't working. It wasn't working. Why wasn't it? Remember, we're talking about the sword of the Spirit. But there's another place in the Bible where it talks about a sword. Let's go to Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12 says this. For we have the living word of God, which is, and I'm reading out of Passion again, which is full of energy, like a two-mouthed sword. It will even penetrate to the very core of our being, where soul and spirit, bone and marrow meet. It interprets and reveals the true thoughts and secret motives of our heart. For the word of God, it says in the King James, is sharper than any two-edged sword. But the word of God there, the word for word there, is not Rhema. It's Logos. It is the entirety of the word of God. We've got to keep feeding on this word. But I want you to see what it does. See, I looked at that, and I when I first saw that, because I went from Ephesians over to Hebrews, and I was sure I was going to find, when I looked it up, and I had a little bit of Greek, I'm going to find the word Rhema here in Ephesians or in Hebrews 4. I didn't. It's not there. And I had to back off and disappointed. And I kept looking at that. And it took me several months. I was meditating on it. And God gave me a revelation on that. And I want you to see. And I will turn to Hebrews chapter 4:12 out of the King James. Because you'll hear it. For the word of God is living and powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God, this written word of God, is powerful in his heart. Two-edged sword. Now notice where that two-edged sword goes to work. And that's what, where the revelation came from. And the sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. Where's the soul and spirit? On the inside of you. You are a spirit. You have a soul. Mind. You live in the body. The word of God begins to divide soul and spirit. I hear Christians all the time talking about, well, I don't know whether that was God or whether that was just me. They just locate themselves. I know they're not reading the Word. Because if they were reading the Word would separate from them. Soul and spirit. See, we're inside out Christians. We've got to be. And then to read on here. End of the joints and marrow. Joints and marrow has to do with bones. And the marrow, what does marrow do? It produces the blood, doesn't it?
Yes.
Blood is, life is in the blood. The word of God goes in there and gets down into the very core of your being. And it exposes anything down in it that's contaminating you off the blood. Because you're reading the word. There's a reason why you got to do the word of God and make sure that you're picking the word up. So it's down there where it is. And then notice what it goes on to say. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God knows exactly what you're thinking.
That's true.
When you begin to read the word of God, if you're reading it, praise God, with an open heart and an open mind, praise God, it begins to speak to you. And it begins to separate out your thoughts and the intent. It separates out your thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now, I will tell you, from my understanding here, when it says the intents of the heart, if you are a born-again spirit, you'll believe, born-again man, your heart has been born of incorruptible seed. Your heart never wants to be wrong. The real you never wants to sin. But it happens to separate between the thoughts and the intents. The thought, the intent of the heart is to do right. But how many of you have ever listened? The word of God, this word of God lets you know when you listen. So you can line your thoughts up with your word. Do you see that? When you line your thoughts up with the word of God, the intent of your heart, what's going to come out of your mouth? The word of God. Your thoughts will change. And when you read this word, pray then, you take this word, pray that you get it down on the inside of you. Praise God. You let it begin to come from the inside out. And it begins to control you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because you want it to control you. But you have to be willing, praise God, when you're reading this word and taking it, and not to drop this word for the spoken word of God. Because if you want the spoken word to work, you've got to have this word working first. You've got to have really got it down in here. And you've got to have allowed it to separate. What's it separating? It's separating sin out of your life. It's separating fear out of your life. What's it replacing it with? It's replacing it with the love of God.
Yes.
It's separating it out so that your faith will work. So that when you speak the word, praise God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, it'll work for you. Because it's just not a, oh, well, look at how I'm going to wield the sword of the Spirit. I know there have been people, praise God, and I don't fault them. They put on the armor every day. But you know what? The problem with that is, it's okay if you put on the armor every day, but make it a genuine thing, not just a ritual you go through. Because I know there's a lot of people, a lot of Christians, a lot of good people. It's a ritual. They're just putting on that armor. There's no meaning in it. Because they've never taken the time to meditate in it.